day to all our loyal listeners. You're tuning into a special episode of Township's Daily News Bits. I am here with my lovely colleague and social media coordinator for CIDI 99.1 FM, Keegan Gagno, and we are covering the opening night of the Knowlton Film Festival, which is in its third edition after a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic. We have the pleasure of speaking with screenwriter and director, Mr. Louis Godbout, who is showing his film Coda, which opened in theaters this summer after being put on hold from the pandemic for a couple of years. So Louis, how excited are you to be here and to show people your film?
I'm very excited, actually, because the film has a long career. We filmed that in 2017. And then, of course, with the editing and all the post-production, it took a while before it came out. It came out in the U.S. at the beginning of 2020. And then, it was because of the pandemic, it was stuck on hold, as so many projects were. And so the feeling of having it shown here, in my country and with the local people is very exciting. So it's a great evening.
Yes, because you're from Montreal, but you have a home here in the Eastern Townships, right? So you've grown to make a connection here in the local area.
Yeah, very much so. And my father is from here. He was born in Waterloo. So I know the region quite well. I spent a lot of times here with my grandma when I was a kid. So I know the region.
Well, we're so happy to have you.
So this is, Coda was your first project in the movie industry as a screenwriter. You were teaching philosophy before that. What made you go towards the movie industry and what prompted your interest in a movie as not niche, but with a specific message as Coda?
Actually, it's philosophy's fault, because at the time I was kind of immersed in the Nietzschean ideas, and I traveled to Switzerland, to Sils Maria, to make, a pilgrimage with my family on Nietzsche's, following in Nietzsche's footsteps, because that's where he wrote many of his great works. And just being there and having these ideas in my head and I was also listening to a lot of music at that time, and so these things kind of, blended together with the landscape, and I thought, wow, it would be great to have a movie where the protagonist, goes on a journey and ends up here in Sils Maria. So that's how it started.
Great. And as a screenwriter on a project like that, how do you go about gathering the team you need to produce a movie?
Yeah, that's a good question, because like you said, this movie is, we're not pulling any G's in that film, It's not Top Gun, so the marketing process was, not complicated because it wasn't up to us, but just to have a team with the balls, excuse my French, but to just take on that project and pitch it. And we found a casting director in L.A., a Montreal expat, and she liked the project. And so she submitted it to big agencies in California, and that's how we ended up with Patrick Stewart, who also liked the idea. So we got extremely lucky.
So people believing in your project and going along for the experience.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Louis, could you speak to us a little bit more about the themes and the messages that viewers will have the chance to discover as they experience the journey of Coda?
To put it really simply, it's also, I'm being true to the film. Like I said somewhere, this film is about, in a nutshell, music as a life companion, but it's about, trying to convey an idea that you can find in Nietzsche, which is not very complicated, but it's very hard to apply in daily life, which is the love of your own fate, the love of fate through, the difficulties of living. And so philosophy is good to help you through troubles, but music can do that as well, especially some music which, there's music that, is just there for the entertainment value, just like there's movies for that. But there's also music that contains suffering. But it when you listen to it, strangely enough, you don't suffer. You just, the pain is kind of sublimated, and you feel there's some sort of relief in having accepted that pain and finding that even pain can motivate you, in life, and you can persevere because you've overcome that pain. That's a lot of words just to say that, but that's what I hope that the viewer gets at the end of the film.
And is Coda based on a true story? Is it based on an actual musician, or is it just really just came from yourself? It just came from your own thought process and creativity?
Came from me, but there is some resemblance to Nietzsche's own life. And I think that pianist, especially that the part of the film that takes place over there in the Swiss Alps, could be seen as partly biographical. I mean, there's elements of Nietzsche's own life. He would take long walks along the lakes there, and that's where he got many of his thoughts, including the very famous and misunderstood eternal recurrence of all things.
Could you speak to us maybe a little bit about the characters in your film a little bit more and what makes them relatable?
The pianist, what makes him unrelatable is he's a concert pianist. And for me, as for most ordinary folks, he's some kind of a hero, you know, who shows amazing courage in walking on that stage in front of 2,000 people and not being allowed one false note. That's tremendous. But his difficulty in life is very common. He's getting old. He's losing self-confidence. He's kind of stuck in self-doubt. He's been through hardship. So that is quite relatable. And also, the way he will try to be free from that or overcome that involves nothing spectacular. And so there's no deus ex machina in the story. It's just coming to terms with your own life and your own problems. So that's for him. As for Helen Morrison, played by Katie Holmes, her character for me was based on, I needed someone who could be a soulmate, but just a soulmate, musically speaking. Someone who also went through what he went through. I thought it would be convenient that she was a former pianist, having stopped playing because of stage fright. And so that the bond between the two could form, but on a level that wasn't strictly or not at all sensual or sexual. It was basically a spiritual friendship, so that's the origin of her character. And then Giancarlo Esposito, well, his character was basically, kind of a typical manager, but Giancarlo just gives it a touch of his own, and he's fantastic.
Well, it sounds like a very human story, a human journey.
Yes, it is, absolutely.
Writing a movie like this is always a process, and one of my favorite lines in the movie is, almost at the beginning, is the explanation of the entirety of the movie can be resumed to, they're waiting for the one disaster, for the one imperfect note, and that's why they're here. They're not here for the talent. They're not here for my excellence. They're here to see me fail. And I thought that was a beautiful metaphor, and it was also very interesting how Katie Holmes comes in to challenge those visions and challenge those ideals.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what Henry says at that point. Of course, when we go to a concert, just like when we drive along the highway, we want things to go smoothly. But if there's a car flipped over on the side there, we're not going to look, or we're going to try not to look, but we just take a peek because there's a part of us that's not so, that doesn't belong with the angels, as the song says. And the same thing with the concert pianist or anybody, a diver or, figure skating. It's fun to see them succeed, but there is a little tingling when they fail. So that's part of us. But of course, in Henry's state, that part tends to be overblown, and Katie Holmes brings him back to, the essential meaning of his craft and why he's there. And
so your films have very different themes from one another. So how do you go about jumping from Coda, Life with Music, to Les Tricheurs, which is a comedic film more than a drama?
I'd have to ask my shrink for that one. About that. I don't know. They say that especially your first movies should come out of you a little bit. And I have to admit that those are, different aspects of my own personality, and I thought I'd have fun with that. But don't search for a thread. You might find one, but I haven't found one.
How does being a screenwriter versus being the director and being, I guess, more involved in the continuation of the project, how does that compare with your other experiences with Coda?
If you can direct your own script, it's fantastic, On many levels, there's the control freak part of you that's completely satisfied, and it's easier because there's no compromise. But when you do that, though, you have to be very receptive to outside feedback, because you don't want to get stuck in your own mind the whole time. That's not very fruitful. But on the other hand, having someone else direct what you wrote can be fun, when what's been written is respected, but also things are added, be it by, the director or by the actors. And I found I did another project that I wrote called Une Révision. It came out, which was I just wrote that, and then it was taken over by, Cine Imaginaire and the team, and it was kind of fun to see where they went with it. So
giving up control of your art and of your script to a certain extent.
Yeah, that can be rewarding as well.
Well, I always end my interviews, Louis, with an open question. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention about Coda or about yourself or about the film festival, just to the community, anything that you think would be important for them to know.
I know Knowlton from, there's a link to my second film, basically from the golf course, and IGEA and Uniprix, and not much else. I don't come here so much. I live 2 kilometers away, but I don't come into town. And to see so many people gathered for an art event like that, I think it's fantastic. And so I think this festival is a great plus for the region, and I hope that it stays healthy and grows in the years to come.
Well, thank you so much, Louis. We really appreciate your time, and good luck with everything.
Well, thank you so much.
I also had the pleasure of speaking with Serhiy Salov, who's going to be chatting about his experience working on the film with Mr. Louis Gadbout. So thank you so much, Serhiy, for being here with us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Taylor. I'm the one who recorded the soundtrack, and okay. I'm the episodic pianist, if I can put it this way,
okay.
who appears at a little cameo in the end of the movie, and who is whose mission is to inspire the main character, the main pianist, to regain his life vigor and artistic vigor after the loss of his beloved.
And why don't you speak to us a little bit about yourself and your background as a musician a little bit?
Well, I don't want to start a very intense and long discussion, but I hail from Ukraine. I hail from Donetsk, the place where the hell broke loose 8 years ago, and where the whole world is talking about right now. And my earliest music experience are connected with this city in Ukraine. And then I made a steadfast journey westwards. I went to Germany, then to the UK, and then to Montreal. Finally, I graduated from the University of Montreal. In this context, I got to know Mr. Gadbout, and I respect him as a man of great taste, great knowledge. He's a philosopher, he's a scriptwriter, he is a great music lover, and very apt pianist himself, although he probably doesn't mention it.
I actually interviewed him, and he did not mention that at all.
I vouchsafe, I heard him play Chopin Polonaise Heroique. Maybe it is a while he did it, but it's certainly he has the credit.
Do you play some of the songs that Patrick Stewart is playing in the movie, from what I'm understanding?
I hope it's not a secret, and there is the Louis Gadbout is not here to correct to muzzle me. It is actually a very complex structure of three layers. One is Mr. Stewart moving his body. Another one is the hands of another person who is a piano tuner from Montreal, and my playing the sound.
Okay.
So it is a very sophisticated contraption of creating, but it is an awfully well done one.
Can you speak to us a little bit about your experience working on the film and what kind of enticed you to take on that role working alongside Mr. Gadbout?
My most intense experience was actually coaching Mr. Stewart, being a sort of a puppet master, how to move his shoulders, how to move his head, how to even act. He is a great actor, and of course his credit is worldwide recognized for the blockbusters such as X-Men and Star Trek. But he is a great Shakespearean actor, a dramatic actor, drama actor. So I had little to teach him how to pretend he is playing all these sublime pieces of music, but I had a few things to say about how to move his body, his upper body, his shoulders. And I have to admit, we tried to also to make him move his hands the way, but then in the end, we opted not to show the hands because he never played a tone of piano in his entire life. So it is entirely, he wouldn't be equipped to learn how to do it in a month's time.
No.
Yes, he is entirely excused for that.
How did you find yourself at the Knowlton Film Festival? What made you want to come here? What encouraged you to come here?
To say the truth, I was approached by Louis Gadbout, and he didn't reveal any details. I thought it would be a very regular, common piano recital. It's not until 3 days ago that I got to know that it was to do with a film, and that it's actually a bit of a lecture recital, interaction with him, myself, and the audience, rather than, well, I'm here to play a total of 10 minutes, if not less. But it's great to discover. I've never been to Knowlton, but I think it's a beautiful place. And you see, I've been to all Eastern Townships, but Knowlton. It's my first.
Wow, that actually really surprises me.
I've even been to Saint-Hermenegild.
Oh my gosh.
Not to Knowlton.
Well, we're really happy to have you. And I know that music is such an important part of cinematography. Have you played in other films, or do you have any other films lined up that you're involved in?
I haven't, but I have to say that something is unique to this film. Many, many scores of films were done with the pianists or musicians in feature films in as main characters. But I don't think there exists another movie which exclusively employs piano, solo piano music as a soundtrack. In this respect, Louis Godbout has done a very daunting step, because piano, as opposed to an orchestra of Williams or Hans Zimmer, piano is a very sober, very, very sophisticated, sometimes even considered snobbish instrument. You see, piano, a classical piano. And I think it all fell into the right ears, because the film has been going from strength to strength in festivals, and I'm very happy to be contributor to that success.
That was actually a great leeway into my next question. I was going to ask you, from your perspective, what important contribution does music make to the two films and to the world of cinematography?
Well, you ask me as a professional classical piano performer, and I tell you, all my colleagues think that film music is something of a derogatory aspect. When we are drinking wine and call something, well, this is not real music, this is film music. And this is debatable, because some of the greatest music was written for the films. And also every score of Brahms or of Tchaikovsky could be easily put to film. So I think film is a direct successor of drama, and music has always been an integral part of drama, so it's wonderful that they coexist, and the snobbery is definitely out on this one.
I would have to agree with that. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I wasn't sure if there's anything that you wanted to mention about the film or about your experience in working on the film that you think would be interesting for our listeners to hear about.
I would never forget Mr. Disposito, the agent of the famed pianist Henry Cole, say to the famous pianist, "Don't you dare to get attacked by the doubts that you will fail. Ban this." I'm not quoting because I don't know the script by heart. "Don't ban this bastard. Tell him to F off." And all that to the most sublime harmony of the fourth ballade by Chopin, where it really becomes a D flat major in all its beauty. I think it's a unique and very naughty and extremely powerful effect to those who appreciate Chopin and who appreciate strong profanities.
Well, thank you so much again. I really appreciate your time, and have a lovely time at the film festival.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I also had the pleasure of receiving a few comments from the mayor for the town of Bromley, Mr. Burkham, on the Knowlton Film Festival and its contributions to the cultural fabric of the local community. So how excited are you for this year's festival?
Oh, I'm very excited. It's become a big attraction, and then COVID hit, and now they're back on track after 2 years. It's great. I mean, the cultural part, since I became mayor, it's just been increasing. I'm anxious to see how this one, they have a great program, they have a great committee of organizers. Michelle Bazin and her committee has done a great job. So very appreciated of everything, yeah.
And how has the town supported the Knowlton Film Festival this year?
Well, we support them financially, and we also support them through the PAC Bromasiskwa. That's at the MRC level. Okay. That supports events in different poles, and the Pole of Black Brome is a part of this, and so they were able to get money from the PAC.
I know that the film festival, the honoree this year was Mr. Gerald Potterton, who is a 3-time Oscar nominee and who lives right here in Bromasiskwa, but unfortunately he passed away a couple of days ago. So I was wondering if you could speak on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, well, I knew Mr. Potterton, since Jerry Potterton, I guess more friendly since 1971 in that area when I started on police and got to know him. He lived on the extremity of Brome Lake. He was a great filmmaker and a great artist too. You know, yes. He was a real talented, exceptionally talented man. And in the film business, you can make it or break it. And he certainly made it. His untimely death, because on Saturday they were paying a tribute to him, you know, with some of his movies and paintings and that. It's very sad that just a couple of days ago he passed away before, because I talked to him about 5 weeks ago out here on the steps of Town Hall. He was coming to his little complaint, he called it little complaint, about garbage, saying it's only garbage, Richard, but it hasn't been picked up in five to six weeks, I guess he said. But it's only garbage, you know. But it's going to be getting hot, you know. So, I mean, what a guy. You know, he wasn't... All the complaints we got was we're going to either drop it off at the door of the mayor's house or we're going to throw it on the steps of Town Hall, but not this man. And so he was a prime example of what people should be like, you know, yeah. In personality, in everything, character of him and everything. So he was a great man. Yeah, it'd be sad to miss, yeah.
And I know that you're going to be honoring his memory on Saturday, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, you'll be saying a few words.
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. Now, I know you're not a big movie guy, but what are you looking forward to the most about this festival?
Well, I'm looking most about it for the citizens, for the people that attend. There's a lot of people that love films. You know, when you look at the work that the organizers put into that, you know what I mean? They're not paid basically for that.
No, they're all volunteers.
That's right. That's right. And so they're, you know, take your hat off to them for coming back after COVID and taking a risk and two again. But I'm happy for. I'm happy for the people that are going to be able to attend and for the restaurants in the village that will benefit before and maybe if they're still open after.
Yeah.
But usually before people come out and eat and use the restaurants and other commerce or whatever. So that's what I'm, as mayor, I'm really happy for.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Richard. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.